Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 1st of September 2014, the podcast that's a meat space expat. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week is Charles Thomas. Charles, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
And thanks for doing the ice bucket challenge. I nominated you for that, so...
You were the only one who did. I'm just amazed. No one just like, wow, I was going to do it by myself if I actually did. I said, oh, finally someone nominated me, and I just did it.
Yeah, well, Dave nominated me, and then Tim did it after Dave, so I was the third. And so I think, let's see, you did it, and Jacob just did it. So I think the only ones left are Daniel and Jonathan.
Well, I think they're going to do it, but hopefully soon. Yeah.
I nominated every co-host that hadn't done it, so.
Oh, no, I already donated, I think, $10 to the AOLS and everything, which, I mean, over $100 million. That is amazing.
Oh, that is just so wonderful.
It is.
For such, I mean, we don't know basically a thing about ALS. I think the only way they even diagnose ALS is they just rule out everything else. But, I mean, you know, what causes it, how to treat it, how to prevent it, there's just not much.
Yeah, I'm hopeful in our lifetimes. I know this sounds naive, but hopefully we not only find the cause, but we also just find a cure. It just becomes a memory. We like something like we just like, you know, like if you have a cold, we just like, you know, just take a pill and it's done.
Well, I mean, would you have thought 200 years ago that, you know, we could rid the world of smallpox and polio just by giving everyone a little injection of something when they're a kid?
Not really, no.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, miracles like that happen. You know, when they started the March of Dimes to wipe out polio, I don't know if any of them even expected it to work as well as it did, as quickly as it did.
Yeah, surprising. We're marching on, and I honestly, like I said before, I got a feeling that this thing, with all the money's been raised and everything that's going on with the attention that it's getting, maybe call me nuts, but I think the next 5 to 10 years we'll probably finally find at least the cause of ALS. That's my big prediction.
Well, here's hoping you're right.
Don't hold me to it.
All right. Let's cross-cut shred the news of the bogus. So Torrent Freak is trying to find out what the London police have been doing about notorious file-sharing website The Pirate Bay, and they made a request under the UK's Freedom of Information Act to turn over all documents they have regarding The Pirate Bay. And guess what? The London police denied their request.
And why was that?
Well, in the story, it says, quote, "It is widely known that the police work in tandem with entertainment industry groups such as FACT and the BPI, so we also attempted to find out what's being discussed behind closed doors. Since asking for all information shared between City of London Police and entertainment industry groups might be a bit much, we focused our FOIA request on the Pirate Bay. No documents were provided. Instead, we were told that the request can't be processed as the cost would exceed the statutory limit of £450.
So it is basically too expensive just to look at all these files and documents.
Yep. But what their reply said to them was, quote, "The cost of completing this work would exceed the limit prescribed by the Secretary of State in accordance with powers contained in Section 12 of the Freedom of Information Act. The limit is currently set at £450, and the hourly rate is set at $25.
So they can't even come even close to even looking at all these files and such.
Yeah. Yep. Nope. Sorry. You don't get your rights if it costs too much for government to give them to you.
Yeah.
Too much of a hardship. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, they have too much work to do, Shane. I mean, who's going to edit Wikipedia for like 4 or 5 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the police told them it would take more than 18 hours to locate all the information. So they're going to try it again. And this time, limiting the request to electronic information. So hopefully that means they just have the systems where they type a search and just goes through. If they deny it again, then we'll know something hinky's going on. Mm. I mean, we already know something hinky's going on, but, you know.
This is an old issue. I mean, this has been going around since, well, the days of, like, legitimate piracy. And I don't think legislation is going to fix this problem. Stuff like Netflix, Hulu, which I know in the United States is hard right now because there's a lot of places in the country that are not, you know, they can't have the streaming stuff. But I think once that hits and once that happens, I think when Netflix, I honestly believe that Netflix would be like iTunes for music, what iTunes did for music. They just like, you know, I could watch something on Netflix. Hey, it's got 50 million subscribers, Netflix, so I think it's going to be, there's a lot more big stuff coming. And don't forget the stuff that's going on, I think, Yahoo and Amazon. I keep forgetting. Amazon has shows now. I don't know what's going to happen to the movie industry because, going to a movie theater costs you $500. So you have to get a loan just to go see a movie these days. I get the feeling that we're on the tip of something really big. And I think piracy will still be there, but I think it's going to be greatly reduced. It's already been reduced thanks to Netflix and Hulu. I think it's going to get reduced even more.
Well, and it seems to me that Netflix is just a complete refutation of everything the industry claims, because we've talked about this before. When they figure out what they want to include and what they want to, you know, go to the entertainment industry and say, hey, we'll pay you to, you know, get this on their site and get it streamed. When they're finding out what's popular, they go to the Pirate Bay. They go to the streaming sites. They go say, oh, what are people downloading illegally? And so they use that and they say, okay, we'll put that on there because that's what people want. If it was really true that when people pirate it, that means they don't want to buy it, then you wouldn't see that. You'd see the opposite. What aren't people, you know, pirating? Because if they can just download it for free on the Pirate Bay, they're not going to get it from Netflix. Yeah, they are.
Yeah. I mean, that's how most of the stuff on Netflix, a lot of it's like, you know, people are like, hey, you know, it's an easier service. I don't have to worry about viruses or things shutting down my computer or what have you. I can just, watch that stuff there instead of just, you know, depend on piracy.
Well, and TVs are coming with, you know, built in the ability to stream, you know, Netflix, Hulu Plus, and all of those. And even if they don't, just buy a little $50 box from Netgear and hook it up to it, and you can do that. And that's just so much easier than, you know, having to go to a torrent site, finding one, try to figure out if it's a quality one, you know, spend hours downloading it and taking up all your disk space and then watching it on your computer and not your TV. It's just so much easier to do it on Netflix. So, you know, you just keep the price reasonable, make it easy and convenient, and people will turn away from piracy and just get it from Netflix or wherever.
Yeah, that's what I think is going to what they're doing right now is just wasting time and energy.
They're just dinosaurs trying to keep their business model going.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
And that's what it is. They always want to squat. It's always been this way. It's always have. When you have something new that can actually empower the little guy, get independent stuff, most of the big businesses hate that. They hate it. And that's why a lot of them, like, you know, like you said, oh, they always like to regulate. Always like, you know, we want the majority of the profits. Well, you get you little independent guys, you know, you get your little crumbs and like it. That's just what happens. And hopefully that stuff comes in and we can have more people, independent people with a lot more interesting concepts instead of this, you know, well, monopolies and such.
Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. So, police brutality is in the news again.
Yay.
Yeah. And I don't want to go into any cops behaving badly stories. I mean, how many times can you repeat the same stuff over and over again? I want to take a look at the bigger picture, specifically at the research D. Brian Burghardt, editor of the Reno News and Review, has been doing for 2 years, collecting data on police killings. And he says it here in an article on Gawker.com, quote, "Nowhere could I find out how many people died during interactions with police in the United States. Try as I might, I just couldn't wrap my head around that idea. How was it that, in the 21st century, this data wasn't being tracked, compiled, and made available to the public? How could journalists know if police were killing too many people in their town if they didn't have a way to compare to other cities? Hell, how could citizens or police? How could cops possibly know best practices for dealing with any fluid situation? They couldn't."
Yeah, but you know, it's all they try to hide this type of stuff because it's easy. I mean, if they really wanted to go into real depths about this, this is what the police officers, we are accountable, but more often than not, when you look at these stories, there is little to no accountability. And when they are supposedly accountable, they usually get like a fine, or they barely serve any jail time. And more often than not, with, for example, Kelly Thomas, they get off because the majority of the people still have this like illusion that the police, 90% of the time, they're right. That is the mindset of the majority. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, or anything else. The majority of the country, they still think the police officer is a like nice guy. All this. I mean, they are great police officers who do good, great work. But it's just, I mean, when you have that type of power, more often than not, there's going to be some bad people get into it. And it, even worse, you have people defend these bad people because, you know, they might lose, you know, what they could get. They lose what type of power they have. Doesn't matter if they're white, black, or anything else. When you have no accountability, these things happen.
Yeah. So he said he found it offensive, and so he decided to build a database. He's been working on it for 2 years, and he's still building it. But what he says is, quote, "The biggest thing I've taken away from this project is something I'll never be able to prove, but I'm convinced to my core. The lack of such a database is intentional. No government, not the federal government, and not the thousands of municipalities that give their police forces license to use deadly force, wants you to know how many people it kills and why. It's the only conclusion that can be drawn from the evidence. In attempting to collect this information, I was lied to and delayed by the FBI, even when I was only trying to find out the addresses of police departments to make public records requests. The government collects millions of bits of data annually about law enforcement in its Uniform Crime Report, but doesn't collect information about the most consequential act a law enforcer can do. I've been lied to and delayed by state, county, and local law enforcement agencies almost every time. They've blatantly broken public records laws and then thumbed their authoritarian noses at the temerity of a citizen asking for information that might embarrass the agency. And these are the people in charge of enforcing the law."
And again, like I said, they have no accountability. And people say, well, we vote someone in. And I'm not against voting or anything like that. But sometimes I look at what Tim Dyson and those guys say, you know, like, you know, the
anarcho-capitalists.
The anarcho-capitalists. And sometimes I do agree with them at some points because, you know, we look at stuff like this when they don't even follow their own laws. They do what they please.
Yeah.
The table's tilted. The game is rigged. And you know how deep this thing goes? I see people in threads. They are agreeing with that action. Say, well, it was a drug threat. Like, no, there's no other drugs. Like, there was no drugs found in that residence. Well, the guy was probably a bad guy. There's no evidence to prove that he was a bad father or anything. Well, you know, they keep making excuses. And it's sickening.
Well, and it's like what I said about the Michael Brown thing. Even if it is true that he held up that convenience store or whatever it was, that fact was not known to the officers when they were coming out. So they can't use that as an excuse.
Yeah.
It's just an ad hominem.
Yeah, but that's what they have. All they have is ad hominems. But it works for the most part. They will say, well, you don't care about, you want thugs running around the streets or anything that... There are no one out there that has the cojones to push these things. No one. Because quite honestly, if they start saying that stuff, saying, you know, they say, oh, that's soft on crime. You want your kids to get hooked up on drugs. They want more power for the cartels, even though the cartels get more power from the war on drugs and everything. But, you know, it just continues. I guarantee you, if you look down the comments, and there will be people down there will be negatively bashing this story. They know what they're doing. It's only a few bad apples. It's not like that. You know, it is. There's always these law enforcers who abuse their power.
Well, and what do you do with bad apples? Do you leave them in the basket or do you take them out and throw them away?
Yeah, you take them out. And no one does that. They don't want to lose their power, which is a daggone shame.
Yeah. So the other thing he learned was that, quote, "Bad journalism colludes with police to hide this information. The primary reason for this is that police will cut off information to reporters who tell tales, and a reporter can't work if he or she can't talk to sources. It happened to me on almost every level as I advanced this year-long Fatal Encounters series through the News and Review. First they talk, then they stop, then they roadblock. Who the hell knew Memphis police were killing men at more than double the rate the cops were killing people in Albuquerque? But when I emailed a reporter at the Memphis Commercial Appeal to track the numbers back further, I got no response. Reporters make fundamental errors or typos, they accept police excuses for not releasing names of the dead or the shooters, or don't publish the decedents' names even if they're released. They don't publish police or coroner's reports. Sometimes they don't show their work. The otherwise excellent St. Louis Post-Dispatch article claims that there were 15 fatal shooting cases involving law enforcement agencies between January 2007 to September 30, 2011, but provides few names and dates for further research efforts.
And these are the people who are supposed to inform us, right? I mean, these are the reporters are supposed to come in and say, this is what's going on, and inform the people, right, Shane? That's what their job is, right?
Supposedly.
Yeah. And instead of looking really hard into stuff, I think this guy really did his due diligence. But, you know, it sadly, it gets ignored, and, you know, people care about what's going on in the pop world or anything else. This should be paramount. These are people who protect and serve. These are people who we put in charge to defend us from crimes. Or look, you know what I mean, right? To look and see who did these horrible acts and arrest the right people, regardless of they're rich or poor or anything else. But sweep that stuff in a rug, and only cases that, you know, they actually do care about are the ones that get the big, you know, media stuff, you know. The ones that truly, A, divide the nation, B, it's something truly horrible or something like that. Distract them, saying, well, see, we like to say the justice system gets it right, even though they let, like, 15, 20, cases go wrong or something. It's just, it's again, heartbreaking.
And he also talks about, quote, the tendency of large outlets and wire services to treat killings as local matters and not worth tracking widely, even though police brutality is a national crisis. Journalists also don't generally report the race of the person killed. Why? It's unethical to report it unless it's germane to the story, but race is always germane when police kill somebody. You know who dies in the most population-dense areas? Black men. You know who dies in the least population-dense areas? Mentally ill men. It's not to say that there aren't dangerous and desperate criminals killed across the line, but African Americans and the mentally ill people make up a huge percentage of people killed by police.
Well, I'm mentally ill and I'm a black man, so I'm basically just a walking target.
And he also says, quote, collecting this information is hard. I still firmly believe that having a large searchable database will allow us not just better understanding of these incidents, but better training, policies, and protocols for police, and consequently fewer dead people and police. But normal people don't much care about numbers. Trolls intentionally try to pollute the data. Subterranean disinformationists routinely get out fake numbers. I try to take advantage of the public passion when an incendiary event happens, like the death of Kelly Thomas, James Boyd, Eric Garner, or Michael Brown, or when a Deadspin writer decides to get involved. My girlfriend calls this riding the spike. I call it journalism. Or maybe obsession.
Yeah, it's journalism, but it seems to me it's long since then. It's sad.
Yeah, it's journalism of the type that isn't being done, but should be.
Yeah, even though crime is down now and in the United States, maybe this will bring it down even lower and less fatalities, which is a good thing. But no, they don't want their dirty laundry to be hanged out to dry. And you know what? They should have it. I mean, this is how, you know, we need surgery in this country. And this would be the best way to really, we have to get in there and dig through the muck and everything. And hopefully after we do all that, we start to get better. That's what the surgery do. They get the bad stuff out. And the person gets better most of the time. Yes, I basically butchered the whole description of surgery, but, you know, bear with me. I'm just trying to make a point.
Well, around that same time, NPR published an interview with David Klinger, associate professor at the University of Missouri in St. Louis, on how difficult it is to get facts about officer-involved shootings. You know, those things that just occur for no reason, like we talked about?
Yep.
Yeah. And Klinger said, quote, the primary data collection mechanism regarding crime and justice issues in the United States is the FBI's Uniform Crime Reports, and they have a program to do, among other things, count the number of homicides by the police, called justifiable homicides by the FBI. And for whatever reason, many police agencies don't report to the FBI when their officers have killed somebody, or they do report, and somehow it doesn't get recorded by the FBI. We're not quite sure what's going on, but every time we compare that to a count that we can get internally as researchers in major police departments, the FBI numbers are lower than the numbers we get from the police department. And it's a similar situation for unjustified use of force.
Of course it is. And people will defend this. Heck, I see people defend the military and police. They're like, well, we have to protect the police. You guys don't want them to be protected. I'm like, of course I want them to protect it. But do they really need a huge tape-like subject in, like, there's, like, in these small towns, they have these huge, like, tanks and Humvees. And, like, they're going, like, they look like they're going to Iraq or something. I'm like, do you really think they need all this stuff?
When crime's going down. And before anyone says anything, yes, it was going down before all this militarization of police.
Yeah, but, you know. But they don't want to listen to that, Shay. They just want to say, see, it works. We just got to be more tough on crime and let the chains loose and let the police have, I mean, police discretion. Let them do everything they want because it's like the police on TV shows. They're always right. It's like Dirty Harry.
Well, Klinger also said, quote, I've actually heard police executives say that they don't want to have a national reporting system because then people will compare and say, well, you know, this police department shoots more people than that police department, and it'll lead to problems. My argument is, report it out. If you have a problem, if your agency is shooting too many people, then do something about it. But if all of your shootings are appropriate, then you have nothing to worry about. And isn't that what they say to us? Oh, if you're not doing anything wrong, what do you have to worry about?
Yeah, Shane, don't care about that. Hey, you know what? Let those people in there that say keep tracking this down. I mean, hey, if you don't have anything, nothing to hide, you have nothing to worry about.
Well, also, isn't it important that citizens should be able to trust the police?
Yeah, it should be. And they should have something. And trust means, you know, transparency. And with this stuff going on right now, there is no transparency.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a huge problem because if we don't have any way to track all of this, we're just left with our perceptions. And, you know, the problem of cops killing people seems to be getting worse, but does the reality match our perception? And if it does, how much worse is it getting and what should be done about it? Without a database covering this, it's hard to know. So best of luck to Burghardt.
Advancing transparency in this, it just proves that, you know, it's just basically it's their way or the highway.
Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy. I've been very satisfied with GoDaddy's services and their wonderful 24/7 customer support for over 10 years now. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or other service and get 35% off with the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet hosting. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. Well, speaking of their way or the highway, you know, we have all these social contract yahoos who keep saying we agreed to be forcibly taxed by not moving out of the country. You've heard that, haven't you?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And of course, when a company like Burger King takes them up on the offer and does move out of the country, they cry foul, but that's a different story. And there's also the fact that there's nowhere on the planet you can go that doesn't tax you. But what we've been pointing out is you can't just move away. You have to get the government's permission with a passport and going through customs. And not only that, you have to pay an expat tax, you know, just like the serfs who had to pay their feudal lords for permission to leave and go somewhere else. If you want to say screw you to Uncle Sam and go live in New Zealand or somewhere, you have to pay for the privilege.
Yeah, just to render to Caesar and such. I understand the whole concept, like, hey, we all pull our money together to help build roads and military police and stuff like that. But when you look more often than not, we see it's used for unending wars. We see it used for horrible legislation. And for the most part, all that money goes, it's basically wasted. For the most, I would be fine being taxed, but if it was only used to actually help people, when I see, like, okay, if it's for roads or whatever, fine. That's great. That'd be awesome. That'd be great. But for the most part, it's not.
Well, and they don't give you that choice. It's either pay the taxes or go to jail.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you're not living in the country, if you're living somewhere else, you're not using the roads. You're not getting the advantage of, you know, American defense or anything like that. That's being done by whatever country you're in. But even when you leave the U.S. and go somewhere else, you still end up being taxed by the IRS. And this article in The Economist goes into the problem with this, and they talk about a guy named Lars, which isn't his real name. He was born in the U.S. to Swedish parents. He renounced his U.S. citizenship just because he hated dealing with the IRS. He hasn't lived in America since the mid-90s, yet each year the IRS requires him to fill out a 65-page tax return, foreign account declarations, and an extra 30-page form because he was the director of a company in Europe. And by contrast, in the country where he lives, it's just, all that paperwork is just 12 pages.
It's just like, it's after everything you did to get out here, nope, you still got to pay us. Until you are basically underground, until you're dead.
And even then, you have to pay the death tax. Well, they also point out that America is the only advanced country that chases its nationals, even those who have long had no links to their homeland, for a slice of their worldwide earnings. Many of the 7.2 million living abroad end up owing nothing because they get credit for payments to foreign exchequers, which are often higher, but they still have to fill out the forms, or more likely, pay someone to help. Even in simple cases, this can cost $2,000 or more.
Yeah. He says, I'm gone. Why do I have to keep paying for stuff that I'm not going to use? And I guarantee you, the people who argue say, well, it's his duty because he has to pay because we still have all these problems. And he's just being...
You have to pay your tithe to the church.
Yeah. And I'm like, after all the money we put in, can't they, you know, stop... I don't know, wasting money on some on these boondoggles and maybe save a couple pennies?
Yeah, and this is getting worse, too. You've got the Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act, FATCA, that takes effect next year. And just the hassle of dealing with all of this is just causing more and more Americans to renounce their citizenship. In 2012, around 900 gave up their passports or green cards. Twice as many did so in the first half of 2013 alone.
So there's going to be more of this. People are going to be like, you know what? They're going to have to renounce their citizenship.
And we've got a situation where, you know, with all of these immigrants and illegal immigrants, all these poor people are just coming into the country, and you've got richer people leaving. You know, that's not a good situation.
Yeah. I mean, we should let everybody, rich, poor, all this type of stuff. By the way, the reason why this poor are leaving is every time I say this in the podcast, come to your podcast. I have to repeat this because I don't think people understand that. Because the reason why most of those poor people are leaving in South America and all this stuff, it's because of the war on drugs and how, you know, the cartels, all these people get in power. But
well, and they've got all these corrupt socialist governments that are just putting the screws on the economy.
And you wonder why. And people say, well, they could just go and fix it. No, they can't go and fix it. People don't look beyond their own self. They don't see the consequences of what our policies has on the world. They don't see the cause and the reasons why. They don't say, let's sit down and see the reasons why they're trying to come over here. The reasons why their country is so messed up. Once, and hopefully we get the power away from the cartels, maybe then they will go back to their lands and try to fix what was broken down there.
Well, and they point out, with FATCA and other things like that that just make it more difficult for people to go abroad and not pay their taxes, you have ordinary Americans having trouble setting up foreign bank accounts or even having their accounts closed. Even American banks and brokerages have started closing the accounts of citizens who no longer have an address in the U.S. And you also have people who have foreign investments. You know, they live in Europe and they invest in Europe, and so they don't realize that they're supposed to declare this to the IRS as a passive foreign investment. The penalties for doing that can be up to 50% of the account balance. Even if you didn't do anything wrong, straightening it all out with the IRS can still take 18 months and cost $20,000 in legal fees plus a similar amount in penalties.
Well, again, you know, you have to render the seizure saying you have to, because who's going to build all the roads even though you don't use them anymore?
I say the problem is, quote, Voters assume that the complainers are tax-dodging high rollers rather than honest students or small business owners. So for many Americans abroad, writing a check for $450, the standard expatriation fee, may increasingly seem like a bargain. And I mean, what is that but an extortion racket? You know, we have to pay the expat taxes protection money because it would be a shame if, you know, something happened to us or something. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's LibertyClassroom.com. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, LibertyClassroom.com teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects, and when you sign up, you get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. And now it's time to cremate the remains of this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week it goes to the WHO for their fear-mongering about e-cigarettes. Yes, they've jumped on the bandwagon. And yes, again, they're trying the secondhand smoke angle, or is it secondhand vapors? I guess it's kind of hard to scare people when you put it like that.
Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm completely nuts. But I feel like if the people who did e-cigarettes actually paid, you know, put their little lobbying money and everything else to serve Congress people, I guarantee you this stuff would go away.
No, there's too many social engineers out there. I mean, the tobacco company's a huge lobby and they can't stop them.
Yeah, it's just, I think that people are so terrified. Oh my God, e-cigarettes are going to kill you, but it hasn't killed you.
And what they say, and you got to listen to what they say, you know, read it really closely to see the problems. For example, quote, "The fact that ENDS exhaled aerosol contains, on average, lower levels of toxicants than the emissions from combusted tobacco does not mean that these levels are acceptable to involuntarily exposed bystanders." Okay, now, note the phrase, "on average, lower levels." While that's technically correct, what picture does that paint for you? That they're like slightly lower but might occasionally rise above that level? Is that what it sounds like to you?
Yeah, it's this. It's manipulating words.
Yeah. The fact is, emissions from e-cigs are less than 1% of those of normal tobacco cigarettes.
Yeah, and I read this article. It's not even close. They don't even have that.
No.
On this whole thing, they don't have scientific facts.
It's not a single scientific fact quoted or cited.
And this is supposedly the World Health Organization. A supposedly we have a lot of think tanks, a lot of people who are smart and scientists there.
They're a political group. You have to keep that in mind. And I mean, they even flat out lied and said that manufacturers shouldn't promote e-cigs as smoking cessation aids, despite the fact that there's already ample evidence that they're more effective than any other product on the market for that purpose. And they say, quote, "Although anecdotal reports indicate that an undetermined proportion of ENDS users have quit smoking using these products, their efficacy has not been systematically evaluated yet. Only a few studies have examined whether the use of ENDS is an effective method for quitting tobacco smoking." Yes, only a few studies have shown quite clearly that e-cigs are a great way to quit smoking. But they don't cite any studies the other way.
Wow. That's amazing. That, to me, shows you that these organizations, they have these agendas. They don't really care about truth or science or all this type of that things that really matter. All they care about is just like, they're just in a lobbying group. And, you know, they see a new, interesting product, and they want to just shut it down because these people just don't want to have any fun. They don't want to have any fun. They just want to just make things as boring and bland as possible.
Quote, "E-cigarettes emit toxic chemicals which could be harmful to bystanders. Well, is it any more harmful than the chemicals emitted by cars as they drive by?
Yeah, and yet, no one wants to say we have to ban cars.
Well, some people are.
Yeah.
But check this one out. Quote, "We also don't know enough yet about the harms and side effects of electronic cigarettes, and it will take years before we can to be sure what they are." Okay, so we don't know that they're harmful, so ban them just in case.
Yep. Yeah, that works every time. That doesn't cause a black market or anything. I mean, it doesn't do anything at all. Meanwhile, you know, when you had the test and everything that happened, like, oh, it was safe all along. I wonder if they're going to recant this article. If it comes out that it is, and they're like, wow, it was safe the entire time, people around it, they don't get secondhand smoke or anything.
Well, and even then, the effects of secondhand smoke have been overblown.
Yeah.
You know, the real science about it says it's not anywhere near the problem that all these others are making it out to be. And with these things, they're practically non-existent.
Fear-mongering. It works in so many levels.
But listen to this one. E-cigarettes should be banned indoors over fears that they can be as toxic to bystanders as normal cigarettes. Notice it doesn't say e-cigarettes should be banned indoors because of evidence they can be as toxic to bystanders as normal cigarettes. No, fears. That's what it's all about. Fears.
Yeah. Fear, fear, fear. And this is how they sell people about this. And sadly, it works. When you realize when it really comes out that nothing's wrong, they don't apologize. They don't do anything. They say, well, we just wanted to make sure. That's all. We just wanted to make sure. We didn't want to hurt or anything else. We just want to make sure. That's their excuse, which is complete and utter bogosity.
Well, and to give you an idea of what level they're operating on, they even mentioned propylene glycol as one of the problem ingredients. Now, this has already been pretty much thoroughly debunked because you remember the food babe and all the stuff she was saying about Subway's bread? Yeah, she's talking about propylene glycol as being an ingredient in beer and other food products. And it can lower the freezing point of water, which is why they use it. But then she says, you know, since it lowers the freezing point, that it's antifreeze. But of course, she's trying to make it sound like the antifreeze in your car and poison and everything like that. And it's basically, no, it's harmless. And it looks like the WHO has fallen for this hook, line, and sinker. The fact is, if you drank propylene glycol straight up, it wouldn't harm you. It's part of the Krebs cycle. Your body makes it and breaks it down all the time. So, I mean, this is food babe and anti-vaxxer level bogosity. You pick a scary sounding ingredient that no one knows what it is, and you do the whole dihydrogen monoxide thing with it.
Yeah, it works. It always works. No one's really calling out on it. No one's saying, you know what, this is complete garbage. We have to make sure we don't be fooled by these hustlers and everything like that. But no, the people still fall for it.
But that's what gets me, because you always have skeptics going after the anti-vaxxers and Food Babe and people like that when they do this. Why don't they go after the WHO? Why don't they go after government organizations that do this?
Well, because I think I don't want to be experiencing tinfoil hat on. I think it's because they were raised, you know, with TV shows and stuff like that. But government may be incompetent in some place, but in the end, they pick the right guy. They get their job done in the end. Which, sadly, in reality, they rarely get the guy in the end.
Yeah, it's not like it is on Law and Order or 24 or any of those.
Yeah, that's the sad part. People believe that. You know, I think until most people shake out of that, we're still going to see these things. We're still going to have people believe, oh my God, this thing is going to kill us all, when in reality, it's not going to kill us all. You know, it's Chicken Little all over again.
Yeah, so they've sunk into the same quagmire as the anti-vaxxers and Food Babe. And that's after buying into the cell phones cause brain cancer bogosity. In any decently run universe, this would make them a laughingstock. In reality, at the very least, it makes the WHO this week's biggest bogon emitter. Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Back up sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.pagosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.pagosity.tv and get LastPass now. And now it's time to shuffle the punch cards of this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week, it goes once again to Barack Obama for appointing someone to the position of cybersecurity coordinator who doesn't know anything about computers.
Well, that's like right there. That shows you how the governments could completely screw up. How did this get by everyone? How?
The guy's name is Michael Daniel, and he claims that his ignorance of the subject makes him better at his job. He's better at it because he doesn't know anything about it.
Yeah, you know, that's like saying, well, I'm better at being an NFL quarterback. I have no idea about the position, but hey, I'm better. You know, I know RG3 is playing terribly, but I could easily step up the plate and play.
Well, it's more like saying, you know, I'd be a great coach even though I don't know anything about the sport of football.
I'm amazed. But I shouldn't be amazed. But I am amazed.
Well, he said, quote, "You don't have to be a coder in order to do really well in this position. In fact, actually, I think being too down in the weeds at the technical level could actually be a little bit of a distraction. You can get enamored with the very detailed aspects of some of the technical solutions." But I mean, it's not a problem if he doesn't know the details like how to program in PHP or the precise size of a SHA-1 hash. But we're not talking about the details. We're talking about conceptually the important concepts you just need to know if you want to do anything with security. I mean, you don't need to be Bruce Schneier. You don't need to be Dan Bernstein. You don't need to specialize in anything, but you do need to be a generalist. At least acquaint yourself with the basics.
Exactly. You need to know what's going on. And when you hire someone who basically says, you know what, I have no idea what this whole thing is. I have no idea what's going on. And you hire him anyway. That is government in a nutshell. And you know what? Again, I feel like, you know, somewhere out there, Tim Dyson is just laughing his butt off because I feel like I'm leaning more to his side right now because I'm like, oh, Lord, sometimes it's hard. It's really hard to look at that and they say, you know, you want government, here it is. You're like, ugh.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen to this, quote, "Intruders get in through these holes that we know about that we could fix. The question is, why don't we do that?" Oh, wow, great question, wonderful, wow, why didn't I think of that? Just fix the holes.
Yeah.
Gee, why has that never occurred to any security professional anywhere?
And these are the people we vote on to protect us, to make sure that everything is hunky-dory. And this guy, I'm hopeful that this was a person who was just trolling everyone, saying,
can't give it to you. Now, he says that he would do his job better by focusing on the economics and psychology of cybersecurity. But he has no expertise in economics or psychology either.
So you hired someone, basically, you know what he is? He's just a hustler.
He's a bureaucrat. He's a crony.
Yeah, it is.
That's what he is. He's a friend of Obama.
It is.
Or you know, someone who, you know, is linked to him in some way. And he has no background in cybersecurity, information theory, or computer science. His degree from Princeton is in public policy, and he then went to Harvard and got his master's. His experience is basically being a researcher for a think tank and working with the Office of Management and Budget.
So let me get this straight. he wants to go into cybersecurity, but not only there is no, he has been taught about this stuff. He has never taken any jobs about this stuff.
No experience at all.
It's just, again, it's a hookup.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just got hooked up. Here you go. Here's a job for you.
Well, and check this out. He's got a black belt in martial arts, okay? So don't tangle with him in a dark alley. But he actually think that him knowing martial arts gives him knowledge about cybersecurity.
This has to be a rib. Please. Because this guy is not only supposedly doesn't know anything about computers, doesn't know anything else, hasn't been taught anything. It just... Oh, goodness.
His expertise, if you can call it expertise, is in budgets and management. And his attitude really seems to be typical of management. I don't have to actually understand what employees do to tell them what they do. I think we've all had managers like that before.
Yep. And it's funny because I think in the article, Princess Ed Felton tweeted that the reaction of an attorney general being appointed without any legal expertise would cause an uproar.
Yeah.
You have to have some background.
He's an attorney general, but he never spent one day in law school. Yeah.
Is anyone out there, please, I want someone to defend this. I would love someone to try to defend this.
Well, I mean, the way they're defending it is by saying, well, he doesn't need to know, he's got experts to tell him. But if he's not even geared up on the basics, they're going to be, you know, going all day just trying to just explain the basic concepts of what they're talking about. And he's going to go away thinking, you know, things like, oh, well, hey, what if we roll our own crypto or something like that? You know, the way amateurs usually think of those things. You know, it takes time to get your brain thinking the way you need to think when it comes to cybersecurity, because none of it's very intuitive.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm speechless. This is computers. This is technology that's moving at the speed of sight. I mean, this is stuff that is critical to our security and our way of life. In fact, you look here in the article, it says recently Chinese hackers accessed 5 million files from the healthcare industry. And hackers are targeting everything from the nation's 911 system to banks to electrical power grids. And we have a guy in charge protecting us, a person who doesn't even know anything about cybersecurity. Oh, wow.
And for putting such an obviously unqualified crony in charge of our nation's cybersecurity, Barack Obama racks up one more mention as this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire.
Well, that wraps up this Get Your Own Arts Program, you fairy, edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at Bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the Bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@Bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Charles Thomas for joining me.
Problem.
Until next time, here's a quote from Bruce Schneier. It is insufficient to protect ourselves with laws. We need to protect ourselves with mathematics. Encryption is too important to be left solely to governments. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License.
Bogosity.
You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers. And Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.bogosity.tv, you won't pay a satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.bogosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now.
What? That's like amazing.
Oh, back up a second. You broke up on me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I think that's the new guy working cybersecurity is on the Skype connection.
You know, I like how you said you were speechless and then you kept talking for another 5 minutes.
I don't know what to say about that story. It blew my mind. How in the world can someone be just a cybersecurity leader, doesn't know anything about cybersecurity? It sounds like some meme out there. I just, oh, man. Yeah.